Well, hello, this is Scott Gurian here giving a special report for Blast Furnace Radio. Right now, it's Thursday morning. I've lost track of the days here. Yeah, it's Thursday morning, about 12:30 Eastern time as I'm speaking to you. And I'm speaking to you from Firehouse 31 in the offices of Downtown Community Television, right at or near Ground Zero, as they say, about 5 or 6 blocks north of the site where the World Trade Center formerly stood. And I'm an independent reporter and journalist. I've worked with Radio for Peace International in Costa Rica with the Boston Independent Media Center. And right now I'm working with Pacifica Radio, or former Pacifica Radio program, Democracy Now. Now it's actually called Democracy Now in Exile, for those who've been following the situation with Pacifica Radio and the problems that have been taking place there. But Democracy Now is a nationally syndicated morning news magazine program hosted by Amy Goodman, featuring dissident voices and voices not normally covered in the mainstream media. And I'm here helping out with the production of that show. I just want to describe a bit of how I got to where I am here at this location today, what I'm doing here, and what's going on for all the listeners. I live currently in northern New Jersey, and I put in an email yesterday. I suppose I've just lost track of the days at this point. Yesterday, right after the bombs, right after the World Trade Centers were hit with the planes, and the Pentagon and all the news started breaking. I was glued to the television set at home the whole day, living here in the New York area. Just amazing to see, you know, one after another, the TV channels were going out. Some of the radio stations went out because, of course, so many of the antennas and transmitters were atop one of the World Trade Center buildings. It's funny, I was watching on television right as the second plane was hitting into the second World Trade Center building, and I saw this all live on the air. I see a plane about to hit the building, flames start to go, all of a sudden the station goes blank, and flipping through the channels one after another, all the regular broadcast channels were blank, except for cable television. CNN was about all that was left, and eventually some of them started to come back on, but it took quite a while, and some of the radio stations were off as well. So that it's from the media standpoint, just describing what it's like in the area here, all as of yesterday, right, when everything's first happened, all of the roads and ways to get into New York City were pretty much closed, going inbound into the city. All the highways, all even in New Jersey, Route 80 heading east into New York was closed all the way from Saddle River, New Jersey, which is pretty far out. Route 3 going into the Lincoln Tunnel was closed all the way back from Giant Stadium. Many of the roads, all the ferries were all chartered to take people across the river to Jersey City, New Jersey, to hospitals. All of the trains, the PATH trains going from New Jersey under the river into New York were shut down. All of the New York City subways were shut down for some time. All of the bridges and tunnels, as I said, most of them, I think, from Brooklyn's and Queens side and the Bronx, and all of them from the New Jersey side. So at that point yesterday evening, when I got a call back from people working here at this radio show, Democracy Now!, saying, yeah, we could use your help. Do you want to come into the city? The only way for me to get into there was to physically walk across the George Washington Bridge. As ridiculous as it sounds, you know, certain things just living, you know, in just a modern society, you take for granted, like the fact that New York's Manhattan is an island. You never really think about that until you're unable to get it in or out of the city. So the only way to get there last night was to physically walk across the George Washington Bridge. Yesterday evening, Wednesday evening, or actually today's Wednesday, I should say Tuesday evening, about 10 p.m., I drove to Fort Lee, New Jersey, which is right across the George Washington Bridge from New York City. I had to drive using all sorts of back roads because, as I said, Route 80 and all the major highways were either closed or very backed up with traffic. I took all sorts of side roads to get there. It took me over an hour to get there. It would usually be maybe a half-hour drive or so. Finally got there, parked in Fort Lee, walked over to the George Washington Bridge, saw a scene that I've never seen before. The toll booths were blocked by flares. The roads were completely empty, all the highways, flashing lights everywhere. At that point, the outbound lanes had been opened to traffic to get some people out of New York City, so there was a steady stream of outbound traffic coming across the bridge from New York, filtering into New Jersey. And everywhere the utmost security precautions were being taken. Police were thoroughly searching even the one or two official police cars that were allowed to cross the bridge into the city. They made all the passengers get out of the cars, and they were having the cars searched with flashlights and so forth. Upon reaching the pedestrian walkway at the side of the bridge, I encountered a group of about 20 or 30 police in SWAT team-like outfits with helmets and batons and hats that read RDT, I believe. I asked one of the officers what that stood for. I was told that meant they were all from the Bergen Rapid Deployment Team, a group of specially trained police from throughout Bergen County, New Jersey. I had my bags thoroughly searched through, and then I boarded a charter bus. They at that point, originally people were having to walk across the bridge. At that point, they had a few charter buses that were just making special trips every 10 minutes or so from the New Jersey side to the New York side. And I boarded this charter bus, and it started heading across the bridge. It's funny, as we were in the middle of the bridge, the whole bus, you know, looking southward down the Hudson River towards the site where the World Trade Center has formerly stood. Everyone curious, everyone nervous and wondering what was going on. Certainly a fear in the atmosphere. I arrived on the other side of the bridge at 178th Street and Broadway, not the greatest area. In the city, there was fire trucks and ambulances from all over places in New Jersey, Fort Lee, Bergenfield, Englewood Cliffs, and other New Jersey municipalities had gone across the river to assist in the efforts in New York. The streets were just completely dead. There were police on every few street corners. There was this eerie silence everywhere. It was broken only by occasional sirens and flashing lights. So I boarded a downtown A train at about 10:30. By that time, a select few of the subways had resumed being run, but being run on alternate routes. All the downtown trains, everything south of a certain point was rerouted to Brooklyn or Queens, and just the whole south end of the island was blocked off. So I boarded this A train. I exited at West 4th Street, which was the southernmost point that I was able to go on the train. As I said, all trains south of there were being diverted eastward to Brooklyn. And I got out there. I walked a little farther south till I got to Houston Street in Manhattan. And I saw the entire length or width of the island of Manhattan, the entire length of Houston Street was blocked off. There was a giant barricade of police at literally every street, every single street corner, maybe five or six police at every corner. With barricades preventing people from going any farther south unless you presented them with identification that you lived farther south of there. The entire length of Houston Street was lined with giant bulldozers and construction vehicles and other sanitation trucks. There were trucks with all sorts of scaffolding equipment. They said not to repair the World Trade Center itself, but the buildings around it. At one point I saw a 2 to 3 block stretch just of dump trucks, and they had these gigantic bulldozers. I've never seen them so big, probably the height of 3 cars or so, with giant treads on the bottom. And every maybe half hour or so, they would get a call over their radios, and a new group of vehicles would be sent downtown. So first it was all the bulldozers one after another, all the trucks, flatbed trucks with bulldozers on the back, got the call to go downtown. So giant caravan of bulldozers started going west on Houston Street and then presumably south somewhere, heading down towards the wreckage. About a half hour or so later, the call for dump trucks, so giant caravan of dump trucks started lining up, about to go downtown. On one of the streets, empty streets, this was, I don't know, maybe 11 p.m. at this point, I saw a fireman sitting alone on an empty street. I asked him, I said, were you near the activity? He said, yeah, I was right there, right at the South Tower. He declined to speak at length about his experiences or to be interviewed or anything. He was really visibly distraught, and he was still sorting everything out. He told me, you don't know what it's like until you experience something like this firsthand. So after walking around, I wasn't allowed any farther south than Houston Street. I called a friend who works with WBIX Radio, which is at www.wbix.org. She lives slightly north of there, and I managed to crash at her place for the evening yesterday. I guess it would be Tuesday evening. And then I got a call early this morning, Wednesday morning, from the folks down here at Democracy Now! Crew, telling me, well, there were all these barricades up, but that, you know, if I did some sweet talking, perhaps I could manage to get past the barricades. So this was maybe 8 this morning. I started coming down, walking down south in the city. Walking was really the only way to get around. I walked all the way through Chinatown, way in the eastern part of the island of Manhattan. I managed to get past the first barricade at Houston. Then at Canal Street, there was another giant barricade, again, the width of the city. And I managed to speak to them. I told them I didn't have an ID card because I didn't live there, but I was staying with my sick sister. I was helping her out. She's in a wheelchair. That's why she couldn't come to greet me at the gate and escort me, and all sorts of made-up clever stories. And they agreed to have a police officer escort me to where I was going to go. So that's how I finally arrived where I am now at 87 Lafayette Street, about a block south of Canal Street. We're right about, as I said, about 6 blocks north of Ground Zero, as they say. We're certainly a bit frightened where we are, but this is where we're broadcasting from, where, as I said, we're really not allowed to be where we are. Only people living here are allowed to be here. And even then, the police are trying to evacuate a lot of people. We're just receiving word within the past few hours. Someone had heard a news report that, there had been reports of a gas leak down near City Hall, which is, again, maybe only 5 blocks south of here. So it's certainly a tense atmosphere. Walking the streets a little bit earlier, this was the first time I've actually gone down south towards the World Trade Center. We've sort of been prisoners where we are in this building here. But we've been told that once, if we're in the perimeter here, we're past the barriers, as long as we don't try to go out, we should be okay, and the police most likely won't bother us. So Amy Goodman and I were walking around a little while earlier, trying to find just something to eat. Everything is closed. Just walking the streets, they're desolate and empty. There's a few people in the area walking. Everyone's wearing gas masks. We're hearing stories about the World Trade Center that, apparently, when it was built 20 years ago, I believe in 1970, 30 years ago, I should say, that there was an author who I guess wrote a controversial book back then, saying that, you know, the building was made with lots of asbestos, and he said that the people who built the building would most likely be dead within 20 years. I don't know if that happened, but certainly, you know, we have heard about the dangers of asbestos and breathing it in. So it's very important to have gas masks. We're trying to, you know, change our clothing every once in a while. take showers, do whatever we can to avoid that. When Amy and I finally found a little deli place that was open to get something to eat, they had lots of food out, you know, hot food and deli meat and sandwiches and all kinds of stuff. And we just didn't think it was smart to eat food that's been uncovered and has been out in the open. There's particles in the air. We don't know what's floating around. So we just had some potato chips and hummus and stuff of that sort for dinner, and popcorn. So we're here back now at 87 Lafayette Street, the offices of Downtown Community Television, where Democracy Now! Has been broadcasting for the past month or so, and we just happened to be just blocks above where all of this took place. This is our studios. We're, as I said, afraid to leave. Pretty much everyone else has gone home for the evening now. But we're afraid that were we to leave now and go out through the barricades, up past Canal, up past Houston Streets, that we would be unable to come back south and arrive here tomorrow morning to do our live broadcast, which is supposed to go to dozens of stations nationwide. So we've sort of, you know, been prisoners here in this building. We don't really want to walk around much outside. We don't know how safe it is, aside from just the things in the air. You know, we don't know if we could, again, possibly be picked up by police going around. There's this horrible burning smell everywhere. We went outside. Luckily, my gas mask I was wearing seemed to filter most of that out. But one of the street corners a few blocks south of here, we saw this horribly crushed, mangled car. You could barely recognize it as a vehicle. It's just amazing. It looked like it had been burnt partially and just crushed and mangled beyond recognition as a vehicle, really. We were trying to figure out how it arrived on the street, because it couldn't have possibly been towed, you know, with the way the wheels are and everything. I mean, maybe it was dragged or something. We don't quite know. Perhaps as people were trying to clean out the rubble. So I haven't actually been way south where the actual wreckage is, and I don't think they're letting people too far south. I hear there's another blockade a few blocks south of here at Chambers Street, you know, yet another blockade preventing people from getting close to the site. As the cleanup starts, every, you know, several times a day we're hearing stories of more buildings falling around the World Trade Center. So it's not just the two World Trade Center buildings. I mean, more recent, like this evening, Wednesday evening, I should say, we heard that the bottom structure of what I think the South World Trade Center finally collapsed. Another both totally collapsed, from my understanding. Several of the smaller buildings, I guess parts of the World Financial Center around the World Trade Center, have also fallen down, as well as a 47-story building next door to it at World Trade Center 5 and I believe 7. There are different numbers sort of built, numbered buildings, different numbers within the complex there. And, you know, the buildings are very weak. They keep collapsing. I just remember watching on television after the two buildings were hit with airplanes. I just found it very odd that if you saw the footage, they collapsed straight down. It's not as if, you know, from the impact of getting hit with airplanes, you'd think maybe they would have collapsed, fallen sideways or something. But no, they collapsed straight down, almost like if you've ever seen videos of when they're blowing up old buildings rigged with dynamite, they just implode and collapse straight down, almost that sort of thing, which leads one to wonder if there were indeed explosives of some sort within the two World Trade Centers that aided in their collapse. So here we are, Wednesday evening. It's now a little before 1 a.m., Thursday morning, I should say, here at Firehouse 31, as fires rage around us a few blocks south of here. Burning smell in the air, everything very eerie. Seems as if for the first time ever, the city that never sleeps does appear to be in a coma, as everything is very desolate. It just very eerie and undescribable. and unpleasant to be here. So that's about all the report I'll give. And I'll just tell people if they want more info, if you have web access, the ability to listen to audio over the internet, which I'm assuming is how you're hearing me right now. There's several places you can go to listen to radio reports. You can go to www.wbix.org, which I think is what is being streamed on Blast Furnace Radio much of the time. And you can also go to webactive.com, which is where the daily shows of Democracy Now! Are being archived. You can also listen to Democracy Now! Live every morning on WBIX.org, as well as KPFA.org. And those are several of the places you could go. And I'm sure Vincent will be playing a lot more sounds here on Blast Furnace Radio. So we're all hanging in here, doing the best we can. Certainly a climate of fear. We don't really know what's going on. But I guess just doing our job as trying to be responsible journalists, getting the word out, bringing, the sounds of the streets, no pictures because it's radio, but the sounds of the streets to the rest of the country and the rest of the world, letting them know the absolute horror of this, what we're trying to do specifically here with Democracy Now!, as opposed to the vast majority, I should say, of the Independent Media Center, is not fanning the flames of revenge. Several editorials in Pennsylvania newspapers, actually the Philadelphia Inquirer, maybe the Pittsburgh papers, I'm not sure, just talking about revenge burning like a white flame and all sorts of things like that. And also certainly a climate of hatred and racism against Arab Americans, which leads us to recall, first of all, World War II, when Japanese Americans were placed in internment camps, and also leads us to recall the Oklahoma City bombing, when before any evidence came out, Arab Americans and Arabs were being blamed, when it later turned out to be right-wing, extreme right-wing militia groups in the United States, such as Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols. So again, just to remember to wait until information comes out, not to always trust unidentified sources, not to stereotype different groups of people. So we here at Democracy Now! Are just trying to provide a slightly bit of a different outtake on situation, not fuel the flames of revenge, but to I guess make the point that, to call for peace and to say that, certainly situations like this have to be dealt with somehow, and to bring justice to the situation, to find the people responsible and punish them somehow. But for example, as we're receiving rumors of military people in, I believe, Long Beach, California, starting to be trained and sent out to engage in carpet bombings above Afghanistan, I think an email we had received, an anonymous rumor. And just to make the point that carpet bombings across the country will inflict the same sorts of pain and suffering on innocent civilians as has been inflicted on innocent civilians here in New York City and in Washington, D.C. at the Pentagon, and just to say that terrorism is evil and horrible in all of its forms, regardless of who it's perpetrated by or on, and to look at all sorts of world events of this sort within a context and with a sense of consistency. So I think that's what we're trying to do in our role as broadcasters here at Democracy Now! So from Firehouse 31, Lafayette and Canal Streets in Chinatown, 6 blocks from Ground Zero. This is Scott Gurian signing off for Blast Furnace Radio.